Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Brooksy and Bryson are playing Torrey Pines this week.
Let's go while we're young.
Mind, sir. Trying to tee off.
And you know what that means.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal.
Torrey Pines.
Sir, and I never slide.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
We think we found your new favorite golfer.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Hope your Wednesdays are going great. Looks like the sun is back. Summer is here. Might be the last rain we see for a while. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you kept everything wet. We'll get to Statter Story coming up here in about 13 minutes. Let's talk some college football, though, shall we, gentlemen? As a little bit of news coming across the old wire here in the last 15 minutes. Let's play the fun game of guess the Pac-12 team that is under investigation for recruiting violations.
Do you want me to really play that game?
I mean, if you were going to guess, I don't know if this team would have been number one on the list, would it?
It wouldn't be in my top three.
It'd be in the top five. Who's your top three? Give me your top three.
Well, USC has to be number one. I mean, there is no refuting that point.
More so than my school, huh?
Your school would be number two, and UW would be number three.
Interesting. Okay.
Can you think of better options than those? I think you have to go the most prominent recruiters in the conference.
Unless you go the lesser team trying to like break through and doing, hey, this is our chance. This is what we have to do.
Who would be the most surprising violator of recruiting violations?
Stanford and Cal would easily take it.
Those are good ones. I can't beat them.
I wouldn't put that past Cal.
Cal? You think Cal gets a little slippery?
I think during the Tedford days, they got slippery.
Okay. All right. I mean, you told me some guys that were like, how did that guy get into Cal?
Well, not necessarily from the top down. I see Cal maybe,
You think Wilcox is out here violating recruiting situation?
No.
Josh is going to stop in and just pound you in the face.
No.
He's going to go off the top
not
rope.
From the top.
No.
Not from the top. It would be like a rogue secondary coach or receivers coach
Stanford's,
or something.
Stanford's the answer, though.
Stanford's right. The least likely of all of them.
Because there's too much at risk for them.
There's too much integrity involved at that university.
Right. They're not offering guys that can't get into the school.
They call themselves an institution. When you call yourself an institution and not, hey, our university, our program, you're thinking on a different wavelength.
No, the program that is under investigation for recruiting violations in the conference currently is Arizona State. Come on down, Herm, looking at you.
Cheating bastard.
They are getting investigated about hosting high school prospects during the COVID-19 dead period and possibly other recruiting violations. It's unknown how many prospects they entertained during that period or that might have visited. One source said the athletic compliance office recently started interviewing staff members. So these people are concerned about losing their job. Herman's going to make people fall on the sword, basically say these guys went rogue. As Swag is saying, that's kind of what ends up happening. There was a statement that came out from the VP of Media Relations at Arizona State, said ASU can confirm the NCAA is conducting an investigation regarding allegations related to our football program. We're not going to comment further at this time. So you got to remember, all the way back in March of 2020, they halted in-person recruiting. And this has led to kind of what people are saying is going to be a free-for-all. Like, I've started to see this. It just opened up, if I'm not mistaken, on June 1st.
Yeah.
I think is when kids were allowed to start taking visits again. And it made this last recruiting cycle really weird and odd. And one of the players that has held out because he wanted to take visits is the number one player in the country, JT Tuimoloau. He wanted to take his visits, and he's starting to, you know, check out campuses and stuff, and he's expected to make a decision somewhat soon. So the allegations, on top of maybe, you know, there could have been some other stuff going on as well, was that during that entire dead period where programs were not allowed to host recruits, Herm was saying, come on down, come hang at ASU.
Did they violate? We'll see what they get hit with. Is anybody surprised by this? I mean, there's probably programs that got away with it, and Arizona State got caught. It is what it is, man. Recruiting violations no longer really concern me unless they're getting caught outright handing cash to recruits.
You get like an actual photo of a stack of bills going into a player's hand.
Well, like, do they really bother you when you hear that the violation
Not
was that
all.
He DM'd a player,
Not
that they all. Held, they hosted some kid on a campus? Like, I feel like every program is finding ways to do this, and some are getting caught and some aren't.
Yeah, not at all. So just pass that along. Who knows? It's the NCAA, so nothing will likely come of it, but ASU is under investigation for recruiting violations. That just came across the wire a few minutes ago. Shams, by the way, just tweeted the Kawhi Leonard news. You're a little late to the party there, buddy.
Shams did?
He did, yeah.
Shams, I've been told that
came out
Shams
like an hour ago.
Lives in his own world. And Shams does not follow what goes on. And when Shams gets something, he'll tweet it out. And he's done this a couple times where he's been 2 hours late to a story, but he'll tweet it out as if it's breaking.
Adam Schefter tweeted it like 40 minutes ago.
Adam Schefter tweeted
it? He did. Yeah, Kawhi couldn't miss the rest of the series against Utah.
Could Adam Schefter, if he wanted to, become both the breaking news getter in the NFL and the NBA? Could he ever top Woj?
No.
No, he can't top Woj.
You don't think if he tried?
Powerful.
I don't think so.
Actively tried.
I don't think so.
No.
Woj has too many contacts, man.
Shams, though, was the first to have CP3.
Okay.
On the COVID stuff.
So there he is. Yeah. Well, 1-for-2 today. That's not bad. 1-for-2. That's how you live in that world.
Yeah.
Batting 500. Well, you take it.
That's a tough racket, man.
It is. There's no doubt about it. So you pointed me to this article. I missed this yesterday, and it was interesting, and it's something that we argue and complain about quite often, and the fact that they're actually talking about fixing it behind the scenes is a weird step in the right direction that I was not expecting. So this came from Nicole Arbach of The Athletic, and she wrote a piece with a bunch of behind-the-scenes folks from ESPN about basically how they're trying to change their format for the way they talk about college football. And she points to a game day episode when they went to Coastal Carolina for the BYU game. They hosted College Game Day there. And that's kind of a unique, like, man, you're down in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. You've never been there before. It's crazy. But then it points to the first, like, 15, 20 minutes of the episode was all talking about the playoff, Ohio State, Alabama, you know, the normal teams that get all the coverage and all the attention when you got this crazy good game going on at the place that you're at, and it's not even a topic for you until, you know, later in the show. And she says that ESPN folks and executives are realizing this, that they've put too much of an emphasis on the college football playoff. They've put too much of an emphasis on a small number of programs, mainly Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Notre Dame. And they want to broaden the dialogue. They want to broaden the coverage. They want to bring up more things outside of just the top three or four teams in the country. One, will this make the product better? Maybe that's a dumb question, but will this actually go into effect? Do you actually trust them that come week four of the season, they're going through on this and giving time to, you know, an Oregon State, Washington State game on College Game Day?
Well, look, first, I'm glad that they're addressing this. It's been pretty obvious for well over 20 years. There's certain teams they care about, and there's a lot of other teams that sometimes they'll mention them, sometimes they won't. Look, I appreciate the candor and the honesty here by people, execs, hosts, et cetera, to speak on it. The reality is this is not realistic to me. Like, do I want them to focus on Oregon State, Washington State, or Oregon, Stanford? Yes. But the nation doesn't care about that. We do. Southern people, East Coast, Midwest, they just don't. Not unless it involves the playoff team. So if Oregon's a playoff team, yeah, maybe then they'll want to hear more about Oregon. They did back in the day. If Oregon State is ever relevant in a New Year's Six situation, yeah, maybe some other programs want to hear about it. But I think they're going to run into very quickly that if they do this too much, they are going to lose a lot of their audience. Because here's the thing. At the end of the day, what is college football about? It's about the playoff. They keep trying to say that we don't just care about the playoff. Yes, you do. It's your moneymaker. It's why you're going to spend $1.2 billion to expand to 12 teams. To me, the onus is not on ESPN. ESPN does a good show. When teams like Oregon State have their, you know, their Beaver Juice seasons, I think they do a good job of focusing in on that and saying, hey, how about that?
The beaver juice.
But overall, this is on networks of conferences. This is where the Pac-12 should have shined. And I know Mike Yim did a great job. I know they did that show. The problem with the Pac-12 network was it was not on available channels for a lot of subscribers and people in Pac-12 country. This is where having your own network would really thrive. And I know you're asking media companies to spend money in 2021. Good luck with that. But the ACC, the SEC, the Big 12, and the Pac-12, Big 10 as well, I feel like they really could capture their local audiences by doing specialty conference shows, but they're up against a lot in doing that.
Well, I think you're seeing ESPN starting to soften the ground for the expanded 12-team playoff with this, saying, okay, we know we've got to build up. If we're going to have a 12-team, we have to make it seem like all of these 12 teams that get in theoretically could have, you know, the opportunity to win a national championship, which means there's going to be a pool of 20 to 30 teams come November that are still viable for that, and we have to spread it around. And if they're looking at specifically game day, that is a three-hour show. There is plenty of space within a three-hour show to focus on some of the secondary level headline, great feature stories, cool stories,
and still
have time to focus on the heavyweights. You can do all of that within a three-hour framework.
Here's the quote from Lee Fitting. He is the senior vice president for ESPN that oversees college football.
Yeah.
So he talked about this on the record. He said, quote, it's time to take a little reset as far as we're concerned. Obviously, the playoff needs to remain a priority, A, for the sport, B, for business. But at the same time, I'm worried we've gone too far away from what makes college football great. And that is, there is something in every game for fans out there. It's not just the top four, five, six, or seven teams who are playing for something. Of course, we're going to lead with the playoff, but let's try and raise the pedestal that all other games are on. He said, it's my belief that the college football fan is different than most other sports fans in that they still want to hear about their team regardless of where they fall in the national picture. And I do think he's true on that, or right on that. It's unique in that way.
And I think what that leads to is maybe a little bit more history. There's people that have been there with college. College football is one of the tenets of ESPN when they first started in 1979. So they've got so much footage, so many good storytellers, so much history. I would like to see more of that, even though now I've lived through a lot of it, but
or all of it.
Settle down.
What was it like to take a train to the Oregon State game?
It was Stagecoach.
When they played at Hayward Field, it was a big deal, man.
When the Fighting Furs played the Agricultural College, what was that like?
That's right.
No, look, to your point, 3 hours is a long time. But I'll also say, I mean, let's just be honest. Call a spade, where is the passion of that sport lie? It's in the Midwest and the South, right?
There's no doubt about it.
So are you going to get those eyeballs to have segments where you talk about Cal?
Well, and
or
I don't even
Stanford
think this is just a Pac-12 thing. I think it's we need to focus on everybody, not just five teams.
I get that, but so I would highlight the conference more so than the other conferences gets less talked about. Don't you feel that way? Because
yes,
I do.
And I don't think that's going to change for the conference.
I don't either.
The question becomes, how far does this go down? Are you going to see more discussion and stories about the group of five teams?
Well, you should, because the format changes, you're going to get a group of five team in the college football playoffs. So we deserve to know who that team is, who they played, and who they beat.
But the group of five thing is interesting because I agree with you guys. They should talk about them more now that a playoff is included. But you can sell that to Bama fan. You can sell that to Ohio State fan of, hey, this is why you should take Coastal Carolina seriously. And maybe they won't, but they'll still watch. Are you getting them to take the Pac-12? I think the Pac-12 is different. I think the group of five has always been the story of the little engine that could, that never got a legit shot. And now they have a shot. So it's either they're going to get annihilated by the big group teams, or maybe they have a huge upset, Boise State, Oklahoma-like. I think you can sell fan bases like that on that topic. I don't know if it's USC or Oregon, sure. maybe UW. Outside of that, I don't know how much you're selling the fan bases of other schools in the Pac-12. I really don't.
I'd be curious to see how this plays out. ESPN says they're willing to change. They want to change. They want to broaden the coverage, they not just give it to the top four or five teams like they normally do and pay attention to other things outside of the college football playoff. We'll see if they end up doing it.
Would it get you to watch more? Because I don't watch that show.
I don't watch that show either, but I don't. It's not because I don't watch, or it's not because they talk too much about the playoff. I watch football all day. I don't need to watch a three-hour pregame show before I watch football all
day. Would a pregame Pac-12 show that you could
probably
easily
not
access?
And that's just me. I'm not a big pregame guy. I have my thoughts about games. I'll turn it on. But I do think it could broaden the viewership numbers if you're talking about more. If I say, hey, Oregon State fan, you're going to get a segment on College Game Day today, you might watch.
Yeah.
Right? But if you know that you're not going to get talked about, it's like, well, this show has nothing to do with me. They're just talking about Alabama and Ohio State. We'll see, though. We'll see if they end up actually doing it. Some more football coming up at the bottom of the hour. One writer says questioning if people are excited for the college football season. Want to get to that. Also, interceptions in practice, which is cracking me up. But it's time for your favorite segment, Stat or Story, next on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Crunch the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at Adams, 58% of which are girls. So that's 7,107.32 boobs.
Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible, in case you didn't know.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Come on,
don't
mess.
The Fan.
All right, that's right. Status story time on a Wednesday. We'll get back to some football stuff bottom of the hour. But what do we got? We're turning and burning today. What do
All
we got,
right,
Swigard?
Your first number is 12.5
million. 12.5
million.
Okay.
Is it the total prize money purse for the 2021 U.S. Open?
Ooh.
Or is it the number of unsold Girl Scout cookies sitting in warehouses right now as a result of the Scouts not being able to sell in person and door to door with all the coronavirus restrictions?
Look, that did suck. I heard about that last year. I saw a couple of Girl Scouts like they wanted to sell. Yeah. So they were kind of knocking and then stepping away. I understand that went down. Why do we not have an online option here for Girl Scout cookies? Hey, troop number blank, debit card, credit card.
There
give me
are.
The box.
They got a deal with Grubhub.
Well, they marketed it terribly. Okay.
They're still not moving cookies.
Really? That's interesting. I had no clue there was an online one.
That
some places selling like
Dairy Queen's doing Thin Mint Blizzards as they're trying to move product.
Are they?
But Thin Mint's easily the number one cookie.
Easily.
Yes.
I'm going to go story here. That seems like a lot of money for the purse.
Oh, I'm going to go stat. That seems like a lot of cookies.
It's a stat.
Damn it.
$12.5 million purse, $2.25 million to the winner.
Okay.
Which I think is more than I think the Masters is right at $2 million.
Nice little payday this weekend for somebody.
No, this comes to us from the Associated Press. 15 million boxes of unsold cookies sitting around right now with a 12-month shelf life. They're trying to get the word out, but normally going door to door or setting up the card table outside the grocery store, wherever people come.
Why don't they just make a deal with like a grocery store? Put those in a store. You buy them in a heartbeat.
Well, I think it helps the girls. Like, you know, you're doing
sales.
Well,
you gotta share the profits then with them. I don't think there's a huge margin on the cookies themselves because you get cookies, what is it, like $4 a box or something?
Do Boy Scouts do anything like this?
Are they...
I remember being a Cub Scout, but I don't remember what we sold if we did.
We did. I remember the area was Christmas tree lots.
Oh, we always volunteered to pick up your tree at the end of Christmas.
There was stuff like that. So I think it was Christmas tree lots, I remember, in the area. I don't know if that was a local thing here or if that was something they do nationwide, but I always remember that being the deal.
We blows for life, baby.
That's right.
We blows for life.
So yeah, they've tried to get the word out. They've got a deal with Grubhub. But normally they sell 200 million boxes of cookies for $800 million. But yeah, there's 12 million lying in the warehouses of the actual bakeries that they contract with to make the cookies. There's about 3 million that were distributed to Girl Scouts that are sitting around. Mm. So yeah, so if you're looking for them, try and go online. I guess you can get them through Grubhub. So
okay,
there you go. All right, your next number is 2424. 2424. Is it the total number of home runs that have been hit in the major league so far this season?
Oh, damn it.
Or is it the number of miles a message in a bottle traveled from the eastern United States coast before being found in the Azores off the coast of Portugal?
Oh, God. It's an odd number for both of these situations, isn't it? It
totally is, right? I don't even know how to begin to calculate how many miles that would be. And then how many home runs?
How do you
runs?
Do the home run calculation?
Right at this point in the season, I'm going to take a wild shot in the dark, and I'll say stat.
It's a story.
There we go.
2,298 home runs have been hit so far in the major leagues this season.
It's incredible.
So, yeah, they're still going out at a high rate. This comes to us from the Boston Globe. A message in a bottle tossed in seashore or in Rhode Island was found in the Azores off the coast of Portugal, traveling 2,424 miles. And it was sent. There was a Vermont teenager that was visiting family in Rhode Island a few years back in 2018. And just, you know, what kids do. I'll do a message in a bottle. And then it was picked up by a 17-year-old boy who was out there fishing, a little village known as Fahayao Dias. And yeah, and the Azores are not like right off the coast of Portugal. They're like a ways out there in the Atlantic Ocean. So,
gotcha. What did the note say? Did it, was there, what was the message?
Let's see if we've send got nudes. The message. it reads, it was a index card. It is okay. Thanksgiving. I am 13 and visiting my family in Rhode Island. I am from Vermont. If found, email. And then they set up an email account, messageinabottle2018@gmail.com. They didn't get a response back, but yeah,
that's a pretty bad message to find.
How are you looking for a pen pal? What are you writing a message about? That's great.
I don't know, but somebody just like, some 13-year-old with an email address.
Okay, what would you like to see, like, mister? Give cool me a message in a bottle.
Like, give me a treasure map or something like that.
You're going to go on a treasure hunt from
a
bottle?
I'm looking for that treasure. Some little kid's email address? I'm not emailing that kid.
Dirt.
I'm not doing that.
It's called space bait. You're too lazy to go on a treasure hunt from some unsolicited
Imagine
bottle.
The but excitement of finding a bottle on the coast of like, oh my God, that's a message in a bottle. And it's some little dweeb's email address.
The ironic part is the family that found it in the Azores used to live in Boston before they moved to
that
Portugal when
crazy.
The kid was five.
Okay.
Have you guys ever wanted to throw a message in a bottle? I feel like it's polluting now, but
if I did, I'd come up with a cooler message than that.
What would you write?
I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
You're very nitpicky and not offering any solutions here.
There's better messages than that.
Your final number is 36. Is it Kevin Durant's career 3-point shooting percentage in NBA playoff games? Or is it the number of cents per pound the first known sale of fudge cost in Baltimore in 1886 as we celebrate National Fudge Day?
36 cents per pound in 1800? That's expensive, isn't it? I'm going to go stat. I don't know why.
I would try and argue that it would be higher than that.
The fudge?
No, the stat. The 36%.
I mean, you're probably right. It's probably 39%.
Somewhere
he's
in that
been
range.
Insane, but
I'm going to lean stat on this one.
It's a stat.
Yeah.
35.7% for his career.
Oh, well, you rounded it up.
I rounded it up.
I love
it. Well, yes.
So give me this one. I'm curious if I'm wrong or right. Isn't that high in 1800 something?
That would seem to be expensive, but it actually sold higher, 40 cents per pound.
What was it? It just was that rare, huh?
It was first introduced. They say, so today is National Fudge Day. the timeline here. This is from nationaltoday.com. That fudge originated from a messed up batch of caramels, hence the name.
Mm. Oh, he fudged it up.
He fudged it up. Mm. So the first known sale, 1886, fudge is sold in Baltimore for 40 cents a pound there. And then in 1889, the first fudge shop opened up on Mackinac Island in Michigan, up there in the where the Youpers live. Are you guys big? Are you guys big fudge fans?
I'm not a huge fudge guy. Not a huge fudge guy.
I like hot fudge.
Now, hot fudge on the sundae, yeah. And that was first done 1906. Ice cream parlor C.C. Brown's in Hollywood was credited with creating the hot fudge sundae.
Hot fudge, put it on top. I'm all for that. But like eating a chunk of fudge, I'll eat it, but it's not my main thing.
I would still argue. And by the way, 40 cents per pound is the equivalent today to $11.46.
Yeah.
That's kind of spendy for a pound of fudge.
Well, you hope it's well-made fudge.
The peanut butter parfait, of all the fudge options you have at stores, I don't know if you can beat that. There's fudge on the top. There's fudge in the middle. Fudge on the bottom.
Yeah, triple fudge.
It's a pretty perfect Sunday situation that DQ slings out. Mm.
All right, there you go.
I'm not a big fudge guy.
I'd rather just have, you know, nice piece of dark chocolate rather than
the
marshmallow cream. And definitely my mom used to make fudge every Christmas.
Yeah. Not into it.
She lost me when she put the walnuts or whatever.
No, I don't want
nuts in
my fudge.
Yeah, that and fruitcake.
It's a sweet. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need that in my sweets. Just give me the sweet part.
I'm getting closer and closer to not needing sweets as much as I used to.
I don't need a ton of sweets.
I have a big sweet tooth, and now I'm starting to say no. I'm like, I just don't feel good when I eat that.
Ice cream still gets me, especially in the summertime.
What ice cream?
I actually found, it's expensive as hell, but it's really good, and it's keto-friendly. It's Nick's Swedish ice cream, Swedish-style ice cream.
Mm.
So not as much just pure added sugar. They use sugar alcohols, I guess is what they call it, and some low-calorie sweetener. And
boy, you went as off the radar as I possibly could have imagined.
Sounds
delightful.
They got
like ten flavors and stuff, and so I found it at Safeway. I found it at Fred Meyer's, but yeah, it's a little spendy, but it's the... Of all the keto-friendly ice creams...
Yeah, it's probably not a lot of great options out there.
It actually is the closest to... what you know ice cream to be.
Yeah. There you go. Sadder story every Wednesday at 8:15. Coming up next, let's get to another college football story. And interceptions being thrown at training camp. People are freaking out about that. And then I want to play a fun game to close out the show. But back to some football stuff next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The NBA continuing to go nuts this morning. Stan Van Gundy got fired.
Mm-hmm.
So Zion's going to be playing for his third coach in 3 years.
Yeah, that was a bit of a mistake to fire Gentry because they didn't play well in a bubble and then hire Stan Van Gundy, who ran the Detroit Pistons into the ground. And then they said, no. We need to see a little more from Stan Van. I assume he will be joining Dan Le Batard soon and doing media the rest of his career.
I think so. And the Wizards and Scott Brooks just parted ways. They could not come to an agreement on a new deal. The deal expired at the end of the playoffs. Or when they got eliminated from the playoffs, and they were working, I guess, on a new extension, couldn't come to an agreement, and Brooks is out, which is a polite way of I mean, it's not really a firing because his deal was up, but Scott Brooks, so you got two coaches already out this morning. Chris Paul in COVID protocol and Kawhi Leonard's injured. It's been a wild morning in the NBA.
Where's Portland on the desirability scale for coaches that want to coach?
So
rank the, and let's assume Milwaukee.
Milwaukee's going to make a change.
Unless, fire Buds.
I mean, if they win this series, is that enough to keep his job?
I don't think so. I think they need to get to the finals.
So we now have Washington. We have New Orleans. We have Milwaukee in this hypothetical.
Looming.
Has Houston made a decision yet on what they're going to do?
It sounds like they're running it back.
Okay.
The owner was really complimentary of the coach and GM.
Anybody else I'm missing coaching-wise? I'm taking a gander around the league. I don't think so. No other coaches that I've heard of, at least? Indiana's vacant.
Yeah.
I mean, I think of those, the only one that tops it. Now, the Zion factor is intriguing in New Orleans because of how good and how young he is.
Yeah, would you rather coach New Orleans or Portland? Talk about pressure. Does New Orleans have pressure? I mean, their fans care?
No, they don't. No. The only pressure there is trying to convince Zion to not leave for New York in however many years until he can leave for New York.
I think we're already on the countdown of three more years.
I think we're already counting that clock after he blushed talking about playing in Madison Square Garden earlier this season. And you realize he plays in the Smoothie King Arena or whatever they are down there in New Orleans in front of no fans that don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, Milwaukee, you'd still take that job over it just because Giannis has been an MVP and he's younger. But that's the only one I would take over Portland. In terms of a desirability, I'd rather be in a market that cares, that has a good atmosphere, that the superstar has shown and proven that he is loyal. I know Zion is way younger than Damian Lillard, but if you take that job and he's gone in 2 or 3 years or forces his way out in 2 or 3 years, then what are you working with?
Or you succeed and Zion wants to stay because he likes the coach. Dame did another interview, by the way, on a FaceTime, and he basically was asked again, hey, where's your heart at? Is it really still important? And he laughed. He goes, you know where my heart is. Come on.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it's not happening.
He's not. Yeah, it's not leaving.
Okay, I'm going to save the college football stuff for tomorrow. I want to get to two NFL notes before we have to go here, and I want to play a fun game in the final segment. Do we care that quarterbacks throw interceptions in minicamp?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh,
we sometimes. Do. No.
Wait.
But sometimes, yes.
Maybe.
Largely, no.
Tua threw 5 interceptions in minicamp yesterday.
That's a little problematic, is it not?
I mean,
I get it's camp. I get they played in the rain. Is that a little problematic? Can we admit that? Why do we have to poo-poo? Look, I get it. It's camp. It's your own team. It does not mean he's going to suck this year. But for a guy facing as much pressure as in year two, it's a little problematic to hear 5 interceptions were thrown.
I just love that this is how much we care about the NFL. This is one of the lead stories on ESPN. Tua throws interceptions in practice. Like, imagine this being in baseball. In batting practice, Garrett Cole gives up 3 home runs. Like, nobody cares. Nobody talks about Dame goes 0-for-7 in warm-up shooting drill.
But you're talking about established players versus guys who need to be established.
That's true.
If this was Herbert, the same thing. He didn't have a great showing his rookie year. It's a little questionable. People debating, should they stick with him?
It would be a huge story.
And then he throws 5 picks in a Chargers practice. Do you care?
I would do everything I could to defend him. I don't necessarily care because I don't think practice is at a great equivalent. Like, I remember there was, a listener reminded me of this, there was a practice with Jimmy Garoppolo the year the 49ers went to the Super Bowl where he threw like a bunch of pick sixes and everybody panicked. And I know he ended up missing a throw in the Super Bowl and there's a debate about how good he is as a quarterback, but they made the Super Bowl that year.
Again,
and he had a really good season that year.
It's largely not a big deal. This happens all the time, guys throw picks. It just is a little problematic story-wise that your quarterback, the young guy who struggled, had 5 picks.
So it was the closest they got. They wore helmets and they were like, this was a close kind of look at actual football. And it was a torrential downpour, which needs to be pointed out. And he is saying that they're trying to be more aggressive in the passing game. He felt like he was too passive and a lot of checkdowns, that kind of stuff last year. So he wants to be more aggressive, came out, was forcing the ball into situations, and he threw 5 picks in a practice. So it's a big story in the NFL, man. Yeah. There's no doubt. I think your point earlier in the show is valid, that he has more pressure on him likely than any other player in the league this year.
Maybe Lamar because of the playoff stuff. Maybe Baker because Cleveland is a sleeper. But like overall, I don't know if there's one with more in the season than Tua.
I mean, you get 2 years. If he doesn't play well this year, you're out. They move on. That's the way it works in the NFL.
And I didn't recognize that Tua. I mean, Tua in college was slanging it. And you could say, well, that's Bama. He had targets. He had an offensive line. Sure. But he just... Man, he looked like a passive, timid quarterback, and I did not recognize that. Tua
wants to be more aggressive. He's got to start forcing the ball. He's going to throw interceptions occasionally. One other NFL note and a quick response because we're already up against it. Does anybody believe Derek Carr saying he would retire if the Raiders traded him?
No.
Okay.
No chance.
Because he legitimately said that. If the Raiders are to trade him, he said, I would quit football if I had to play for somebody else.
That'd be one of the bigger stories in sports maybe of all time, is if a dude got traded in the prime of his career, just hangs him up.
No, I'm done. John Gruden's too good. I can't move on from that.
Is he admitting that he's got a gambling problem? Or
no,
how do you view those comments?
His quote I actually really liked. He said, look, I signed a contract. I'm loyal. Like, I don't want to go anywhere else. I'm committed to this organization. I don't care about the wins and losses. I give everything. Like, there was a lot of fresh to what he had to say, but the fact that you would quit if you got traded, nobody's buying that. But he did have that to say yesterday at minicamp, so the NFL always continues to be entertaining. All right, we'll get to what's on tap. Take a look at the NBA games tonight, and then I want to play a fun game in Major League Baseball as we close it up next on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right. There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
Hey, What's on Tap, brought to you on The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. There's a lot going on in the sports world tonight and going into the weekend. I saw this story. What's on tap tomorrow is the U.S. Open tees off down at Torrey Pines.
I'm excited, man. I cannot wait to watch this tournament.
The sports books don't want one guy to win. Can you guess who that one guy is? They are facing a seven-figure liability if one player wins the U.S. Open this weekend.
It's probably Phyllis, right?
Yeah, Phyllis.
Yeah, lefty. Yeah.
He has taken twice as many bets to win the tournament than any other golfer, and he's a 50-to-1 long shot.
Is he going to finish top 10?
No.
I will say no, too.
But I would love to see it.
He knows this course as well as anybody else playing it.
He does, man. I would love to see it. It's going to be intense. I can't wait. You guys got a pick? You want to sneak in a pick real quick? Who you like? Have you seen pictures of the rough, by the way?
I'm going to take John Rahm.
John Rahm?
He was dialed at Memorial. He probably would have won that tournament without the COVID thing.
Bouncing back.
I'm going to take Rahmy.
His first major, be a pretty marquee win for him.
He's a good golfer. He deserves to have a major. Johnny Rahmy.
If he's not BSing me about his knee.
Yeah, Brooks is a good pick.
Then I think he's ready to, you know, because he was right there at the PGA.
He just didn't have a good Sunday.
So if he's a little stronger, a little healthier, and he's got enough strength to hack it out of the rough if he gets caught over there.
Have you seen pictures of the rough, by the way? There's videos that you can find where they're dropping balls and you just lose it. You can't find your ball.
6 inches deep in the primary cut.
How deep?
Six inches deep in the primary cut.
This is a family show. Can we clean it up a little bit?
It is a family show.
Dear God.
You dirty old man.
I like the Brooks pick. I'll ride on Spieth Island, though. So, yeah, they don't want Phil to win. He is a long shot, and he has taken twice as many bets as anybody else. Okay, before we get to what's on tap for the rest of the night, I want to play a fun game with you guys.
Go.
There are two continual losing streaks that are going on in Major League Baseball that are rather impressive.
Okay.
So I went and looked up all the specific details of them, and let's play the fun game of which one ends first, okay? The Baltimore Orioles have now lost. This is flying under the radar. They have now lost 17 consecutive road games. 17. Their last road win was on May 5th when John Means threw the no-hitter against Seattle. That was their last road win.
Shout out the Mariners on that one.
That was their last. So 17 straight for Baltimore. They're currently in a series in Cleveland that has two more games today and tomorrow, okay? The Arizona Diamondbacks blew a 7-0 lead in the second inning to my Giants last night. They have now lost 21 consecutive road games. Their last road win was on April 25th at the Atlanta Braves. April 25th was the last time they won a road game. Think about that. It is June 16th. They haven't won a road game since April 25th.
That's such a long time to travel and not win.
Isn't that crazy, right? So they have two more games. They're in the middle of a four-game stretch in San Francisco. They have a game today and a game tomorrow in San Francisco. Which one comes to an end first, Baltimore or Arizona?
Who is Baltimore currently on the road against?
At Cleveland for two more games. And then after Cleveland, so let's say if you want to play the hypothetical, they both get swept. They go home. Their next road trip is at Toronto and at Houston. And if Arizona is to not win a game in San Francisco, their next road trip is at San Diego and at St. Louis after coming home against the Dodgers and Brewers.
I want to lean Baltimore first.
You lean Baltimore? Okay.
I mean, rhyme or reason? There is no rhyme or reason. But I'm going to go Baltimore because it feels like Cleveland is not San Francisco. San Francisco's having a great year, and yes, they had a great comeback last night, but are they going to play that poorly every night? I don't know about that.
Okay,
and I know Cleveland's good.
Cleveland's got a good little team this year.
But I'm going to take Baltimore.
Okay?
Yeah, the Diamondback, I mean...
It's insane.
They're,
how do you lose that many road games in a row?
Not good. Oh.
17-21 in a row.
I think Baltimore has enough talent to get hot one night or to get a great pitching outing from somebody.
When is the Clutchman coming up? What are they doing down
there? I know. What are we doing, Baltimore? Call them up already. That blew my mind. I want to get to that. All right, here's what's on tap tonight. You got an NHL playoffs continuing in semifinals. Montreal and Vegas, game two of that series, which you can hear over on 910 ESPN Portland. 6 o'clock is
hockey.
When it starts. Hockey. Come on, Canadians. Don't let me down. They're trying to even up that series. And in the NBA, you got a doubleheader. Who wins? Atlanta, Philly, game five back in Philly.
I'm taking Philly tonight.
They're favored by 7.
And then if Kawhi's not playing.
Kawhi's out.
And Conley's upgraded to questionable.
Woo!
I'll take Utah winning Philly tonight.
Okay, yeah. That Utah spread's gotten a little outrageous, so it's gone up.
I'm not touching the spread. I would go parlay on the money line.
Okay. There you go. Doubleheader in the NBA tonight. Big pivotal game fives. No Kawhi Leonard for the Clippers. Good little show. If you miss any of it, Les Schwab Tires podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. We'll tweet it out at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080thefan. Thanks so much for being a part of our Wednesday, everybody. Coming up next is Colin, AJ and Dusty, noon to 3. Primetime Isaac and Suk, 3 to 7. The baseball show is always on Wednesdays out for them. Loaded Wednesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.